The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. In the biggest way possible, hanging out, a bad seat, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad attitude, bad tape, bad lie, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Appalachia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny's sitting in front of the fire right now. And she said earlier to me when she was drinking a bottle of Pinot that she wanted a toke on a little candy store shake indica before she went to bed in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, ready to traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up, should do it. All my friends that come around, flat to party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this town's tattered. My brain's splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake it. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Mafia tonight. I can't keep track of all the flipping and flopping, Mafia. Your boy, Carver High, is at the hospital where... Earlier, we told you on Coast to Coast that the under will hit on the arrival of the second child into the Carver High family. As Hot Nicole is ready to give birth, it would appear to me either tonight or overnight or first thing in the morning. She's in induced labor as we speak. So I don't know what's going on other than that's what's happening. So... In honor of that whole festivity, I thought I'd update you on the Penguins win over the Islanders tonight. All right, so they were up, I think, 2-1, Mafia, the Islanders, right? And then Aston Reese tied it 2-2. When Aston Reese scored, I texted Carver High at the hospital, and I said... That, you know, I think Cizikas made it 1-0, Rust made it 1-1, Pagio on a power play 2-1, Aston Reese ties it at 2-2 in the second period, 7 minutes in. And I said in a text, you know, Aston Reese might be a good name for a boy. And then he didn't respond at all, which I knew my text was very effective. And then Barzal scored on a... unassisted, he came in on the left wing and just buried a shot top shelf on DeSmith, and that made it 3-2 with, you know, 7 minutes left in the game. And then with 18 seconds left in the game, Malkin from Letang and Rust with the extra attacker on the ice in the empty net at the other end, Malkin with a slap shot from the top of the right circle, bang, ties it. And then in overtime, nothing happened except the Islanders dominated, but they never scored. Then they go to a shootout. The Islanders, Eberle fail, Gensel fail, Barzal fail, and then Crosby with the double deke backhand facialitis shot on Varlamov with a game winner as Josh Bailey skates in and DeSmith makes the save and the Penguins win 4-3. So then I offered up another idea after the game. You know, he could name the child Gino or Sid. All those names, Aston Reese, Gino, Sid, they all work for a boy. So hopefully he's considering that to name his child if it's a boy. They don't know if it's a boy or a girl either. They go right to the wall with this thing. We welcome in our radio affiliate, SiriusXM 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California, Sports Map Radio Network and Sports Byline USA, Armed Forces Radio. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's Pharrell on a bench. I'm Pharrell with Mafia tonight. You know, Mafia, there's only certain things in life that I truly hate. Not a hate-filled person, but I hate the Islanders. And I hate the Flyers. And I hate the Canadians. But I would put the Islanders and Flyers on a different level, like on a penthouse floor level of hate. I just hate the Canadians because they always beat the Penguins in the playoffs, right? But the Penguins should have lost that game tonight. That's all I know. They were losing. Barzal skates in and scores with 7 minutes left. With that defense that they have, that they tout, that got them to the Eastern Conference Finals, 6 games from a Stanley Cup, and the Penguins somehow found a way to beat them tonight. That was unbelievable. They were 1-5-1 on the road. So much for that. Now 2-5-1. They're 4-0-0 at home. That was a huge 2 points. I can tell you that much because that should have been death. But they stole it tonight. Notice I didn't put your Rangers in the hate group. I didn't really involve them in this conversation. It's not like I like them or anything.
Kick their ass every time.
I don't really feel any real hate toward them. And I even think they have a lot of talented players. So it's not the worst thing in the world. But that fascist team out on the island, that's another story. We got a great show for you tonight, a really big show. Mafia's been touting it. Gina Mizell from thesuns.com will join us this very hour to talk about CP3 and Ayton and Company.
You're listening to a different kind of sports talk.
We're not just talking about sports,
but talk about sports you can use. Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're getting aggressive with the metal. I love it. Pharrell on the bench, 844-843-6879. I actually invited Carver High to call in tonight, Mafia, after the Penguins beat the Islanders from the hospital. I said, if you're waiting, you're in the waiting room, you're bored, you're miserable. I know you just, bent over, but if you feel like talking about the game, call in. He obviously was not interested in that plan.
The game he probably watched seconds of.
Oh, he said he watched the game.
Really? I'm very surprised.
He's in the waiting room. He's in the hospital and so he's out watching it on MSG in some normal waiting room. He's not inside or anything, I don't think. He said he was watching it. And he was at the hospital, and he was miserable. Anyway, so I don't know if you saw this or not tonight, but your boy Jimmy Buckets had a game. He put up a triple-double in Houston, 27-10-10. And Miami came back. They were down 6 at the half, and they kicked the Rockets' ass, 101-94. Bottom line, they just took over the game in the second half. I think at one point I saw like a 15-3 run, and I was going back and forth from that game and the hockey game. But Jimmy Butler goes off. John Wall had a good game, 17 points, 6 boards, 7 dimes. And the Heat actually covered. They were laying 2 as a road favorite. So I guess Vegas was right about that game. Now they're going to put on the Sixers and Blazers game from Rip City. We have Eric Spoelstra the other night talking about this team after they played the Knicks of how if anyone can do it, it's this bunch. Like, turn it around, get their season going. They got a big 7-game road trip out west. 1-0 now after a win in Houston, and the games just keep getting tougher and tougher. Before the game, Charles Barkley said they'd win 2 of the 7 games at best and that they would lose tonight. So 1-0, the Heat. Here's Spoelstra.
You know, I wouldn't say that it hasn't been fun. You know, this has just been an extraordinary experience. We're all growing, you know, from this. There were so many things that hit us. I just really commend the group, you know, for the mental stability and toughness, you know, to be able to stay the course and not make an excuse, not feel sorry for ourselves, not, you know, ask for pity, you know, from anyone. And, you know, just you just continue to try to get better. And we have a very tough-minded group. If anybody can handle all of these things that have happened, it's this group in that locker room.
Well, there you go. Big win tonight. 101-94 to get it done. And it wasn't just, you know, Butler. He had the 27-10-10, but you get productivity from everybody. How about this guy, Struce? Did you see him? 21 points. This guy comes off the bench, plays 25 minutes, hits 6 of 9, 5 three-pointers. The guy had 21 points. He went off. Robinson had 15, 5 threes. None, 16, 2 threes. Olenek had 6, 2 threes. And they shot 43% from the floor. They held the Rockets to 38% and 30% from downtown. Wall had the 17, Boogie 16 and 11, the double-double. And then Tate had 16, and then Gordon had 17 and 3 threes. And that was about it. They shot 30% from downtown, while the Heat shot 35% from downtown. The Sixers are out of the gates already. 2-0 on the Blazers. So a big win for the Heat tonight. And, you know, they were playing such average basketball, right? And then they got Butler back in the lineup the other night against the Knicks, and they won by 2. I really felt like the Knicks should have won the game. I mean, they gave the Heat all they could handle. I think they've lost to the Heat 3 times recently. It's unbelievable. Twice at the Garden and then now down in Miami. So obviously they're the kryptonite for the Knicks. But remember, Barrett had a chance to tie the game on a layup, a runner down the left lane. He missed off the glass, didn't have enough Jimmy on the kiss, and they lose. But Rose played great in that game. With 14, a steal, a block, had a bunch of dimes. I thought Rose brought so much energy and speed, a different level of speed to the Knicks attack. And I, you know, I commend the Heat for winning the game. They got it done. And I didn't even really think they did anything spectacular. I think Bam did. Adebayo had a big game, and he gave them problems. So here they are winning now all of a sudden. They get Butler back. And they go out and they win. And that's what Butler does. He brings that flavor to the Heat winning. And that attitude, that drive. He is, as they like to say, a dog. This guy is a dog on a basketball court. He means business. So big win for them tonight in Houston. And I was watching, you know, Wall had a good game and everything. And Weber was talking about how tired he gets in the second half of games. He was out, came back from injury a little bit, and he's more productive in the first half than the second half because he obviously runs out of gas. Remember, he didn't play for like 2 years. So But from what I've seen of him, I actually think he's played pretty well. I like his game, you know, the comeback game. 36 minutes tonight, 5 of 13 from the floor, 4 of 9 from downtown. So 4 threes, 6 rebounds, 7 dimes. I got no problem with that. And that's a lot of minutes. He had more minutes than anybody else on the team. Tate had 35. But they sure are different without, you know, Harden. It's funny to me. Oladipo had 6 points. I saw him get banged up early in that game on a drive by that, you know, I was talking about him earlier, Struess, whatever the hell they call him. All I know is he came down funny on his knee, and he limped around a little bit, and then he seemed fine. But he only played 20 minutes. So, and he was 2 of 6 from the floor, 1 of 3 from downtown, 6 points. All I know is, like, I was watching the hockey game more intently, although I did see him hobbling around a little bit. I don't know after that if he was shot, if he was injured, if he was done for the night. I don't know. All I know is he didn't do anything. And, I mean, that Victor Oladipo having 6 points, that's a problem, right? That's a problem to me. And I got to tell you, you know, he doesn't, in my opinion, want to be there. Obviously, he's talked about wanting to play for the Heat. He wants to be in Miami. That's where he wants to be. Imagine if they had him. But the funny thing is since he came back from injury, it's not like I think he's been anything to write home about, right? I don't think Oladipo's ever been the same. So I'm not sure how valuable he really is anymore. He was valuable when he played for the Pacers. Then he got injured. Now he's not doing anything really spectacular, and he's not happy there. And I'm not sure if he went in a deal at the deadline to Miami. Let's say that were to happen, I don't think the Rockets are going to get rid of him. But if they do, let's say he goes to Miami. I'm not sure he's going to do anything there. I'm not sure if he's the same player. I'm not sure if he's actually truly healthy, despite the fact that he says he is. 6 points from Victor Oladipo ain't cutting the mustard, I can tell you that much. And one of the things I noticed about this team tonight is, and I know this sounds crazy, but, like, Wall is the guard, right? Fair enough. But, I mean, guys like Eric Gordon, he's a pure two, in my opinion, a shooting guard. You give him the ball, he shoots. Tucker shoots. Small forward, whatever. Oladipo has got to give them more productivity. Wall and Oladipo, basically, as the guards, there's not enough productivity there from them. They miss Harden's productivity, and that's all there is to it. It's our boy Greg Sussman's birthday today. Happy birthday to Suss. And he's a big piece at Sports Grid, does a lot. He's huge. Happy birthday. Rock on. Have a beverage or two. There you go. Big game tonight for the Celtics, 120 to 106 over the Raptors in Beantown. Even though Lowry had 24, he was 10 of 15 from the floor. Siakam, 23, 8 of 14 from the floor. They shot 49%. The Raptors, it didn't matter because the Celtics shot 51% from downtown. Peyton Pritchard, the rookie, had 6 threes, 20 points. And how about this dude, Ojulele, 24 points, 6 three-pointers. He was 8 of 12 from the floor, 17 from Tatum, 21 from Walker, including 5 threes. Brown added 12, and the Celtics improved to 13-11. Toronto drops to 12-14. They're playing, obviously, on the road right now, but when they go home, their home is Tampa this season. And from what I heard today, they're playing the rest of the season in Tampa. They're not going back to Toronto to play any games because of the COVID and everything that's going on. So they're going to keep playing in Tampa. I got to be honest with you. If I'm one of those players, and let's say Lowry, Siakam, these guys have been there, done that, won a championship. Powell, Van Vliet, all these guys, Nick Nurse, they're used to going to their games in Toronto every night, freezing their ass off in snow and ice and bitter, brutal cold, you know, sub-zero stuff, like teens, even below zero, whatever. Believe me, I've called hockey games in Toronto. It's freezing ass there. So all I know is, can you imagine that you play, you know, your career in Toronto and you're just from the beginning of camp until basically the playoffs, you know, essentially, I mean, I guess April, May, June, it's decent in Toronto and it starts getting to be spring and the ice melts. But the bottom line is, from like November, December, January, February, March sucks in Toronto. So it must be nice to actually, in my opinion, just go live in Tampa for the season and play their games in Tampa. You can't tell me that they're not loving that, even though they're all business and they're just balling. There's nothing like walking from your car to the tunnel at the arena, freezing your ass off, snow, ice, slippery, slush, salt all over your shoes or boots or whatever. Just in the winter here in New York City, we walk. Everywhere you walk, you're just crushing salt, and it gets all over your shoes. And then you, when you go inside, your floors get soaking wet. And there's salt everywhere, ruining everything. The hardwood floors, ruining the kitchen floor, ruining the rugs. It just is awful. And then you walk into the arena from your car, freezing your ass off every night. And now you're in Tampa and you're walking in with like no clothes on, a t-shirt, and it's sunny and you got a tan and it's 80 degrees and they just had the Super Bowl there and they can go golfing and they can go swimming. They can lay out on a, you know, beach chair at the beach. They can go to the ocean. They can go to a pool and pass out. They can sit in the jacuzzi outside in cop rays. You can't do that in Toronto, freezing your ass off. If I was a player and I played on the Toronto Raptors, I would be so miserable. And like, because when I called games in like Canada, in Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, all of them, right? I just remember freezing ass. I meant like nothing you've ever felt before, bitter cold. Like walking in Edmonton, I went suit shopping in Edmonton. I froze my onions off. It was so cold. It's like it cuts right through you. And like it's so cold, like all you see is like smokestacks coming off these buildings and the smoke coming in the air, freezing cold, and the heat, you know, coming out of these buildings. I mean, it is just brutal. So imagine living down in Florida and getting a taste of that. I'd want to get traded. We have footage. The players celebrating when they found out that they would finish the season in Tampa instead of going back to frozen Toronto.
Al, here's to the Sunshine State.
Right, yeah.
Here's to all that gorgeous snatch in FLA.
That was it right there. That was the initially when Nick Nurse told the team they wouldn't be going back to Toronto. They're just going to stay in Tampa. You could tell there that they were pretty excited about it. Oh, and they also like going to the beach and seeing all the G-strings. You know what I mean? Like bikinis. Like, I used to live in the beach, you know, in Miami and Huntington Beach, and I'd go trolling for bikinis. It's like a sport. It really is. It's almost like fishing. You know how we talk about Smitty always fishing off his balcony over there in his condo, which overlooks the pool, and he just goes and drops a line down there into the pool area and snags a date or two for the rest of the week and weekend. Gets all kinds of action that way. Same thing as trolling at the beach for bikinis. Or I just go to the Caribbean where they don't wear bikinis at all. They just go straight nude to the beach. They think they're in France or something. I don't know what the deal is. There's nobody wears clothes. We have footage. Some of the players even got too excited to stay in Florida and had to be yelled at tersely from Nick Nurse.
He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants.
That is dramatic footage of Nick Nurse yelling at his team and players that
And the players with hands
so
on hips at the other end of the field are looking at him and shaking their head and saying, why, oh, why?
No one is wearing clothes at all. Everyone is naked. The parties at the pool are all skinny dipping parties. There's absolutely
indignity.
There is all kinds of indignities going on. Everybody's naked. No one's wearing clothes. People jumping in the pool. No quality time spent at practice on the floor working on offensive sets. Nothing at all. No more.
Thank you, sir. Man, have another.
Games. That was Fred Van Vliet getting lashed at the jacuzzi.
Thank you, sir, man. Have another.
So ever since he had that 54-point game, he's just been getting lashed. You could tell that he was upset about it. Can you imagine how bad it would be to freeze your ass off and then get to live in 80-degree weather as like a tease? It's a tease.
Not only that, Scott, I mean, unless I'm mistaken, since they're playing in Florida this season, they're not actually in Toronto, then don't you not get all those Toronto taxes? Canada has a ton of taxes. You know, I've been up there, you know, Montreal, all those areas. They tax you like crazy. Florida, no state income tax. Aren't they making a lot more this season than they would in Toronto, too?
I think so, and there's no state tax in Florida, and they have to be getting paid. I don't know. You know, the organizations in Toronto, I don't know if they're paying them per usual, like Canadian, or, you know, with the Canadian dollar. I don't know how worse. They're in Florida. I mean, the whole organization's in Florida. They set up shop down there at the Amalie, right? That's where they're playing, where the Lightning play, right? So who knows? That's a great question, whether they're saving all that money. It is bad. I mean, up there, the taxes, you know more than I do about it. But you haven't been able to go there in a year, have you?
No, not since the beginning of March last year. So almost a full year at this point, 11 months so far.
So what do? You talk to your daughter and on like on FaceTime or Skype or something like that?
Skype as much as I can.
So you get, is she growing, getting bigger and everything? And like you don't even recognize her anymore and she hasn't seen you in a year, so she barely remembers you?
So she doesn't barely remember you. I've made sure that she sees me and stuff, but definitely so different, you know. Reading so much better now. I've gotten videos of her out skiing now and ice skating like she wasn't doing last year, so she's doing a lot of different things now.
Does she blame Donald Trump for not being able to see you based on the COVID that he didn't take seriously?
Well, she knows she did make comments about him before. She has been told about how terrible he was, you know, over the last year, but I don't think she blames him for that specifically. This is the virus.
I mean, have you ever seen anything in your life crazier than this trial for him? Knowing that I don't frankly care what anybody says. I'll never change my opinion of that guy or of what, you know, he did on January 6th. To incite, without doubt, that riot at the Capitol. I don't care what anybody says. Kiss my ass. How's that sound? But the bottom line is it happened, and then they're trying him for it with the second impeachment trial, and the guy's being tried for doing that, and it's so obvious that he did it. It's not even funny. He's so guilty, it's not even funny. Without a question, even all the Republicans know he did it, and they still are going to let him off. He's not getting indicted. He's not doing anything. He's going to get off as sure as I'm sitting here because they're all a bunch of wussies, and they're going to let him slide.
Our goal is subtle,
but profound.
We want you,
Sporto,
to hold court at the company water cooler every Friday and Monday.
Get it?
That's the winning edge. All you got to do is listen. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Gina Mizell is with Suns.com, and she's covered the Nuggets, the Suns. She's very exciting, and she's in the Valley, unless I'm mistaken. Are you in Phoenix now, or did you stay in Denver in the snow? What's the deal? Where are you? You on the golf course, or are you skiing? Which one is it?
The former. I am back in Phoenix. Have been here for about 2.5 years now. This is my hometown, and yeah, it was a very brisk 75 degrees today in the Valley of the Sun. So no complaints during the winter time. Talk to me in July when it's 120 and it's awful. So I'm gloating right now, but you guys will be able to gloat at a different time of the year.
What do they call those? In the summer, they have monsoons, right? Like they have rain that's like in the afternoon. Like in Florida, they have every day they have rain at like 3 or 4 o'clock for an hour, and then it gets sunny again. Don't they have those? I remember when I lived in Flagstaff that always in Phoenix, they'd have these rainstorms that were crazy in the afternoons. Is that true?
Yeah, they are monsoons, and they're kind of the thunderstorms that will roll in, you know, in July and August, and yeah, you'll get like a torrential downpour for like 15 minutes, and then suddenly it'll be fine again. But no, those storms can get pretty wicked with lightning and thunder and the rain, and so you just don't want to be caught outside in those like 10 to 15 minutes, and then suddenly it's okay again. But yeah, not many of those happening this time of year.
I have friends that live there, and I have a lot of friends that go there all the time, you know, golfing and everything. And I have friends that go from Vegas to that Waste Management Open golf tournament, mm-hmm. the PGA players. They have it at the Super Bowl every year. Have you ever gone to that thing and seen those rowdy drunks getting all crazy and screaming and yelling at the players? It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I have been a couple of times, and it's definitely a massive party. Less so this year for obvious reasons with the climate that we're in right now with COVID. But in normal times, the 16th hole, it is kind of the notorious hole on the course. And, you know, there's bleachers set up, and there's people that have been quite enjoying themselves, I would say, from all hours of the day. But, yeah, it's definitely a massive event here in the Valley, and yeah, it's always Super Bowl week. It always wraps up, you know, early in the afternoon on Super Bowl Sunday, so then you still have time to go to your Super Bowl party in normal times. But yeah, this is a great time of year to be living out here, just because the weather's beautiful, you know, lots of sports stuff going on, and yeah, definitely the Waste Management Phoenix Open is definitely at the top of the list for this time of year. And then spring training comes right after that, so no, this is the best time to be here.
Are they going to let Gina Mizell with us? Are they going to let fans go to the Cactus League games?
It sounds like it. Kind of similar systems, I think, to most, most sporting events that are slowly but surely allowing some limited numbers of fans, where, you know, socially distanced, it's like seating pods where either you can go with, you know, two people or four people and spaced out. I mean, again, I'll be curious to see how many people still make the trip out as far as traveling, but it sounds like, I don't know if it's for every park or if it's just for a limited number, but it sounds like they will be allowing some fans, at least on a limited basis, to attend those games here coming up in the next few weeks.
Mafia, let me ask you a question. You've gone to many games completely spaced out before, haven't you? To like the Garden and to the Ranger games, to the Mets games. Haven't you been completely spaced out before at games, Mafia?
Well, as a lifelong Mets and Knicks fan, if you're not spaced out, usually by halfway through you are, because the game's just not worth watching anymore for your team.
All right, so Gina, I have to tell you, you need to fill me in, because I already liked the Suns. I like Monty. I like Ayton. I think Ayton is turning into a great player. That's my opinion. I think he's super talented, athletic, young, long, and has all the skill in the world. And I think he's, you know, taking a little time, but I think he's coming into his own. And I know that CP3 is making him a better player. And I believe even before CP3, that D-Book was making him a better player. I love this team. I even Bridges, Frank the Tank, everything about them I love. Their coaching staff, you have to be jazzed, no pun intended, because I know Utah's playing so well, but you have to be jazzed to be around this team and watching it grow and develop, because I think they're pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, it's been quite a fun season so far, and this is obviously a fan base that has been starving to have a good NBA basketball team again. I mean, you go back, it's been 10 years since this team made the playoffs, and you have to go back to this, you know, Steve Nash and Mari Stoudemire years to go back to when this team was a postseason regular. So, you know, as someone who grew up here, and I was a young kid in 1993 when Barkley was here and the team made the finals and John Paxson broke everybody's heart. And then I was in high school and college during the Nash years. And so kind of like two formative times my sports, you know, growing up and becoming a sports fan. So it's really been since then that this city has, you know, longed for a great basketball team again in the Valley. And so you're right. I mean, the development of the young players with, you know, Devin Booker obviously making his first All-Star team last season, DeAndre Ayton continuing to come along, Mikal Bridges taking another step, and then, yeah, getting Chris Paul, like, that was obviously a big move that was like, okay, coming off of the bubble and the 8-0 finish in Orlando and barely missing the playoffs, it was like, okay, we're going all in and we're going to trade Kelly Oubre and Ricky Rubio and you know, try to get a guy that obviously is still, you know, an all NBA caliber player, but also is a, you know, his leadership and his impact on teammates is so well documented and it's definitely translated here in Phoenix. And so you put all that together with some really nice complimentary pieces that they added also in the offseason, and this team has taken a huge leap and now they're in the, you know, top half of the Western Conference. And if the season ended today, they would have home court advantage. So it's been quite the leap for this team, but yeah, really fun start to the season. And this fan base has waited a long time to be this excited about the Suns.
Gina and myself with us from Suns.com. Do you think Chris is happy that he's there? Is he digging it? Is he enjoying it? And, because he's playing like it, and I just think he's that kind of pro. I think he's such a badass that, you know, he just goes out and does his job every night. What's his mood like? Do you think he's totally down with it and he's digging it?
I think so, for a couple of reasons. You know, him and Monty Williams go way back. He was, you know, his coach for a season in New Orleans, and there were some other connections from that team. You know, Jeff Bauer is in the Suns front office now, which is he was in the front office when Chris was drafted. Willie Green is an assistant coach on the Suns staff, and they've got like basically a brother type relationship. They played together in New Orleans. So he already, first of all, had familiarity with a lot of people with this organization kind of by coincidence or by chance. And you can tell even too, just in talking with him, even when he first got here, how much respect he had for Devin Booker as well, and the development that he's made. They've known each other for a very long time, going back to when Chris was in LA and Devin was out here or out there for some pre-draft workouts and doing that and first meeting each other back when, you know, Book was 18 years old. So you can tell that, you know, in some ways it's a little bit similar to the situation he had in Oklahoma City last year, where it's a younger team that's still kind of figuring out how to win. But at the same time, I think he could see that the talent that was already here, and then you add some, you know, kind of complimentary pieces like a Jay Crowder, who was a starter on that Miami Heat Finals team last season, or even, you know, like a Langston Galloway or an Etuan Moore, who's now suddenly playing. You mentioned Frank Kaminsky, who's now suddenly in the starting lineup. And there's just some interesting pieces and some guys that, you know, have some experience, but also some young players that are really chomping at the bit to take that next step. So, no, all indications are that he has been enjoying his time here so far. And I think it starts with the relationships he already had, but also, you know, the respect that he had for the young talent that was here and the potential that he saw and sort of being able to help get this team over the hump and get them back to the playoffs.
I like Crowder's role. He didn't do anything really in the in the Milwaukee game, but he is so clutch hitting threes. And what he did for Miami last year going to the finals, I thought was gigantic. And I think he's going to be that same guy for the Suns in the playoffs. I think that's going to be a huge thing. What did you think of the Bucks game? Because I think it was a testament to who they are that they can win a big game against a a really good team, because like that inevitably it could be like a, you know, you never know. It could be an NBA Finals, the Bucks and Suns. If the Suns were to get hot, if the Suns were to knock somebody off, everyone's already crowned the Lakers champions, but I don't go down that street. I want to see it all play out. I want to see how the Suns do, the Jazz, because these teams are loaded. And if anything happens to LeBron, I think the Lakers fall on their face. I think the Lakers are the best team. But if anything happens, like AD's Achilles now, you know, you never know if LeBron, something happens, anything could happen. Respectfully, I got 3 minutes. What do you think of this team, you know, showing how good they can be against a great team like they did last night?
Yeah, well, it was their biggest win of the year, for, I think, for a couple of reasons. You mentioned just kind of the stage and being on ESPN and against a championship contender. And that was a game where they fell behind by 16 points. Milwaukee could not miss a three-pointer in that first half, and they were able to sort of regroup and, you know, still able to overcome. Even Giannis drops 47 points. That game goes down to the wire. You have to have got, you know, clutch players making clutch plays, and that's where CP3 and Devin Booker came into play. So, no, I think it was a statement win for the team, or for at least their biggest win of the season. They were asked if it was a statement win. They said, not quite yet. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. But certainly their biggest win of the year, just because of everything surrounding it. And you're kind of starting to see this team come together as a group and being able to sort of finish out these close games that come down to the wire. They got a couple of tough tests coming up, with Philadelphia's here on Saturday, and then the Nets are here on Tuesday. So the tests never end. But certainly on a big stage against a really, really good team, it was, you know, I think encouraging for Suns fans to see that this team could, you know, close out a big win in that situation.
What is the deal with Carter? Because I like his game. I liked him at West Virginia. I like him with the Suns. And, you know, he got a lot of burn like last year. Is his role now like completely shot? I mean, they didn't even play him anymore.
Yeah, no, that was a little bit of a surprise when he sort of went back to the bench or you know, wasn't really in the rotation the last maybe week or so. But they've had some injuries. Cam Payne was their backup point guard, and then he went down with a sprained ankle. And so they kind of promoted Etuan Moore to be in that backup point guard spot. And he's a guy that they like the way he can run the offense, obviously like his experience. But certainly Javon Carter is like a guy that you can just sort of stick him in the ball game, and he's gonna raise hell on defense. He's gonna play his butt off, and he's still very engaged. When you see on the bench, he's talking to guys, and I think he understands that his role, you know, might be in spot situations every now and again. So no, he's definitely kind of a fan favorite just because of the way that he plays. And I think certainly you'll see him on the floor at other points this season, but right now they've had so many injuries and so many guys kind of in and out because of COVID protocols that they've sort of rolled right with Etuan Moore as that backup point guard, but he wasn't getting any time early in the season. So it's so interesting. This whole season is bizarre with, you know, just, it's a strange year, but that's kind of the way the rotation is shaken out right now.
Hey, great stuff, Gina. It's good catching up. It's been a minute since we had you on the show. We'll catch up again as the Suns roll through the season. I love them. I think they're fun, and I know we'll be talking again. Anyway, it was great having Gina Mizell on. We got cut off there at the very end, and I've always liked her. She's done the show a lot, and we'll get her back on as the season rolls along with the Suns. They're a tough team. They're no joke. I'm telling you, that was a big win for them last night against the Bucks. Because, look, you know, I know people think I'm crazy, and that's fine. Well, if you just want to hand the Lakers a championship on, you know, February 11th, whatever the hell it is, go ahead. Just hand it to them, because I'm all about playing it out. I'm all about, let's see it happen. Let's play the games. Let's play the series. I won't deny they're good. I won't deny they always find a way against the Thunder two nights in a row, overtime, three games in a row they've had to go to overtime. It's like they're playing this dangerous game of a Russian roulette with every night. They just mess around and they don't, you know, they don't do anything to anybody. They're just always in these tight games. And I won't deny winning tight games makes you better. I won't deny that it builds something of fortitude that you can always find a way, no matter what, to win those close games and overtime games and one-point games and last second shots and LeBron's last second threes and everything else. I get it. I think they're awesome too, and I know they are. That's fine. But I know everyone's already crowned them champs, repeat, and I don't think it's going to be that easy. I really don't. And I haven't even begun to talk about the Clippers. And, you know, I mentioned the Jazz and the Suns, and people roll over. All I know is I don't think the Warriors are winning the title, but they've been a problem for everyone. Lakers, everybody. It doesn't matter who they play. They got Curry lighting it up. If they get Oubre having games like that 40 spot he had the other night, they'll be more exciting. Imagine if they had Klay, Pharrell on the bench.